Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you a dog lover? That simple title may be difficult for those who are not to understand. It is an obsession. They are part of the family, big or small. Their dog owners love those dogs. Well, tonight we're talking about the love of dogs and what you need to know if you're going to get one for your household, especially if you have children. My guests are Darlene Drummond, who is a dog owner of Sammy, and she has owned Sammy for 11 years, and Rodney Taylor, chief of the Prince George's County Animals Service Facility. Lines are open. I want to hear from dog lovers tonight. And if you have problems with your dog, I want to hear from you as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Darlene, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Harold. I appreciate that.
And Chief, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Certainly. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. So let me get this straight, first of all. So explain to me, Darlene, about the love of dogs. I don't have any pets. I'm not a pet person. I don't do goldfish. So
we're gonna pray for you.
Yes. Yes. So I'm not a pet person. Talk to me about, is it just Sammy or is it just all dogs for you?
For me, it's about Sammy.
Tell me what kind of dog is Sammy?
Sammy is a full bred Papillon. Okay. He's a one coat dog. I specifically
one coat
dog.
What does that mean?
He does not shed as much. He does not have as much pet dander. For people who have allergies, asthma, breathing disorders, and things of that nature, he is more compatible to your health lifestyle and your health challenges.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that why you picked him?
That is one of the reasons why I selected him. I also selected him out of the fact that in researching his dog and his breed, his size was very conducive to my lifestyle at that time. The maximum weight that he should get in terms of size should be 11 pounds. He's at 9. As it relates to his intellect, he's very spunky, very smart, just like his owner. But
and a humble dog, too.
Right. And I'm sorry, but to know me is to know he's different. Papillon, just like the Chaka Khan song, some people may be familiar with it, he has the butterfly ears. Mm-hmm. So he's beautiful. He's very regal, but he's very obedient. But I put in the time when I got him. I got him at 12 weeks old. At that time, I went through a major health challenge. I am a cancer survivor. I went through a 9-hour surgery, was in the hospital for about 10 days. And here comes this little dog that I need to take care of. I kennel trained him and I set my alarm and I got up every 3 hours. He did not hit his feet on the floor. I took him outside and I said, go potty. He didn't know what that meant. He looked at me crazy. So I brought him back in the house, put him in his kennel, and then he peed. And then he was like, I don't like that. So then every 3 hours I did it. So by day 2, he was tired of getting up and he got it. And at that point, he was potty trained for 3 days, never used a puppy pad or any of that stuff. So it's all about putting the time in. Now that's when you get a newborn. And I say a newborn because there's a time frame in which you can receive your dog from the time that they have the litter from the birth mom.
So Chief, obviously in Sammy's case, he's part of the family. Is that a familiar thing to you when you are, helping to connect families or individuals with new pets?
That's very important to us at the animal shelter. One of the things that we do there is we make sure we do a whole interview process. We match up personalities. We try to match up a dog to lifestyles, how many kids you have, whether you're a senior, you need a senior dog, a lap dog, or you like to run, you like to exercise, and maybe you need a Labrador retriever that likes to run as well. It's very important that people do a lot of research, pet owners, before they go get a pet. Because if not, you'll just walk in and you look for the cute one, and that won't be the one that match your family. So, yes, we definitely want to make sure that the pets go to the right family, and it has to be a perfect match.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to dog lovers about their furry friends. What is behind the affection for dogs, big dogs, little dogs, barkers, quiet ones? What do you think? If you are a dog lover, if you have questions about perhaps owning a dog and you don't know how to pick one or what you should do in the event that you do have children in the family, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that families often need to address is if you have parents that are not dog people, but then you have children and they say, "Mommy or Daddy, I want a dog." What is it that those parents should start asking not only you, but also their children outside of, and I've heard parents say this, okay, who's going to take care of the job? Who's going to take care of the dog? Beyond that, what do parents need to know, Chief?
That's very important. And here's what we do at the animal shelter. We have a pet a volunteer program, humane education program. We'd like for you to come in, spend some time, volunteer. Bring your kids with you. Most people want a dog. A lot of times they're not ready for a pet.
What do you mean by that?
So that means they have to understand that there's a major responsibility when having a pet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time that's going to be spent. It's like having a child. You have to take your child to the doctors, get vaccination before they go to school. Well, guess what? That pet needs to go to the veterinarian, get his vaccination. He has to get his shots. He has to be spayed and neutered. Not only that, you go on vacation. You just can't leave him in the house by yourself. Are you ready to take him with you on vacation? Do you have a pet-friendly hotel? Do you have family that's going to care for your pet? There's a lot involved in caring for a pet and having a pet. It's like having a family member. And I want everybody to understand that you must take it just like you're having a new baby coming in your house.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Why did you have a dog before Sammy, darling?
I did. I had a dog. He was an American Eskimo. I lived in Philadelphia at the time. And that's a really good point that the chief made, because at the time that I had that dog, it was Kimba, was his name. I actually had to put him up for adoption because I was diagnosed with sarcoidosis and was hospitalized for a month and a half, could not take care of the dog, and so I had to put him up for adoption. It was a very trying process for me, but it was not about my life. It was about the quality of life for Kimba at that time.
Why was it so trying?
Well, because I loved him. That was my dog. I had him since he was also a puppy, 14 weeks. And at that time, he was 2.5 years old. So I had him for 2.5 years. And he becomes a part of your family. So just like the chief indicated, you feed them, you take them to the vet, you bathe them, you take care of them. He had a specialized diet. So my dog was definitely an extension of me in every aspect. I keep a clean house. My dog is going to be clean. I go to the doctor, he goes to the doctor. And so it's definitely a financial commitment, and it's a commitment on your time.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about dog lovers and pet owners and what it means to be a dog lover, not only emotionally, but also financially, what it means to your family. Let me go to Kiva. Kiva calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling, Kiva. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a dog. I got him for my sons, but they're getting older, and they really aren't taking care of her the way they should, and we don't really have time. And I don't want to take her to the pet shelter because of the breed she is. I don't feel like she will find a second home. And I really feel bad because, you know, I don't want her to be put down or anything like that. And I just can't find another forever home for her. I don't know what to do.
I'm Chief Taylor. What I would say to you is take your time making that decision. Sometimes you have to just take a step back, take some time, don't make it an impulse decision, and understand your kids are, you know, not really taking care of the pet the way they should now. But sometimes those kids are going to get older and they're going to move on, and you may have to commit to caring for the dog yourself.
Well, they are older. One is they're old. They're in their teens.
Oh, they're in their teens? Okay.
Yeah. And we don't have the time. Like, we're constantly on the go. Okay. And I'm like, it's just unfair. She's crated most of the day. She has accidents. Of course, they're not cleaning up behind her properly. But,
right, you know, I understand.
It's not fair for her to be in a crate all the time like that.
No, it's really not. It's really not. And that's a challenge for some pet owners. And it's a challenge for animal shelters, too, because we hear that story quite often. And we end up with the pets, and we're trying to find a new home for them. And you got to understand, we get your story over and over and over again. So it's challenging for us. And we certainly don't want to have to euthanize animals at the shelter, but it makes it very difficult when everyone is bringing pets there. What I would say to you, though, is check with coworkers, check with family members. Mm-hmm. There are rescue organizations out there. You can Google the breed of dog you have. They may even take your dog and put it in a foster home until they can find a home for it. So don't just make a quick decision. Just start doing your research now. It may take a month or so, but it'll work out for you.
Mm-hmm. Kiva, thank you so much. Okay, you said put the dog in a foster home. So there are pet foster homes?
Yeah, there are pet foster homes. So rescue organizations, and even at an animal shelter, we have foster program. So you may not can keep a pet for life, but you may say, you know what, I can help the shelter. I can keep a pet for 3 weeks. I can keep it for a month until we can find a permanent home. So we love that, because if we can put it in your home, you have relatives, you have friends that's going to see an animal. And most of the time, the foster home might even adopt that animal once they fall in love, because it will become the love of their life.
And that is the route that I took with Kimba. I contacted the American Eskimo Society. They contacted me with a foster mom.
Wow.
Who had three children, as a matter of fact. I had them come into my home so that they can be familiar with Kimba's routine daily. I went to go visit their home. So just like when you do with children, you have foster care, it's very similar. I let them spend time with Kimba on the weekends. And then the children started to bond with Kimba to the point where they were like, oh, can we go get Kimba the next day? Mm-hmm. And at that point, it had been about 42 days. And on the 45th day, we officially made it. We did an adoption, an actual wow. adoption process. So, and the nice thing about that is there is no fees for the person to pay that's receiving the animal. I paid the adoption fee.
Hmm. How much was that?
Well, that was back in the early 2000s, and at that time it was $325, but for me it was worth it. And that money goes towards helping those who cannot afford the proper process to get their dogs into a good home. So like Kiva, she's saying she might not be familiar with, she doesn't want to put the dog down, depending upon the breed. I would highly recommend her to contact the association breed that is with her dog type. Foster the dog. She doesn't have to pay, but allow them the opportunity to find her dog a good home.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about dogs and dog lovers. What is needed to be a good pet owner if you are unfamiliar with the process? Or tell me about your dog. I'd like to hear about it. Ron, calling from Tacoma Park. Thanks for calling, Ron. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, me and my wife and the kids, we went through a process like that as well in terms of getting dogs that we felt worked for us, because my eldest son has asthma, and I had a history of asthma, but we found these hypoallergenic type dogs that do not shed, they don't have the hair issue, and they're the only dogs, honestly, that, for me, I know I've never had any kind of issues with. My son, who has asthma, has not had issues with them, so it's worked out really well, and so... You know, I think that doing your research in terms of the type, the breed, the dog, all those are important issues that you got to look at in terms of the family dynamic.
Hmm.
Not to mention that it becomes this democracy type of thing in terms of the decisions that are made, because a lot of times we have to make decisions based on the dogs. Are they home? You know, can we get home in time to walk them, to feed them, and, you know, things of that sort. They become an addition to the family, except their dogs. So... they become like little children.
Interesting. Ron, Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief, he talked about finding a hyperallergenic dog, a dog that the family is not allergic to. Is that hard to do?
No, it's not hard to do at all. It's just a matter of doing your research, the poodles, the Maltese, and there's several dogs out there that will not shed and will not cause your allergies to flare up. I mean, it's just a matter of research, and information is so readily available now, and it's not hard at all.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about dogs and dog lovers. What does it mean to have a dog in the family or dogs in the family? What do you need to make sure that you are responsible to this four-legged member of the family? And what does it cost if you are considering bringing one into the family? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. Melody, calling from D.C., we're going to talk to you. Cherie, calling from Alexandria, we're going to talk to you as well. Give us a call. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum is going to continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR, but this conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141. Lines are still open. We'll talk to you in the shake of a dog's tail.
Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Nothing but dog in me.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about dogs and dog owners. What is it about this special bond with these four-legged friends? My guests are Darlene Drummond. She is the owner of Sammy. He is 11 years old. She's owned him for 11 years. How old is Sammy?
11 years.
His
birthday is August 17th. Really? 2008.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about that whole birthday. Does he know that?
He knows his birthday.
Okay. All right.
He was actually born at 11:14 a.m.
Really?
On August 17th, 2008. I have his purebred.
And that's a pet lover.
That's the voice of Rodney Taylor. He is chief of the Prince George's County Animal Service Facility. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have a lot of folks on the line, so I promise I'm going to get to all of you. If you can't get through, please keep trying to get through. Let's talk to Cherie, calling from Alexandria. Cherie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm the proud mommy of a 15-month-old miniature schnauzer, Princess Anne. And she's great. I have adult children, but I got Princess Anne last year when she was 10 weeks old. And I can be honest with you, a lot of the callers that says that, you know, they got puppies for their kids and then the kids grow out of them. I've had dogs over the years with the kids and, you know, in the military moving around. But once I got Princess Anne, after I became an empty nester, she really helped me through so many things with the empty nest, you know, going through, different changes of life. And I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. I think temperament is important also. It's, you need a dog, that you can bring into your home that has a temperament that works well with yours. I mean, believe it or not, they have their own little personalities. And, I mean, she can be very demanding. They're very intelligent dogs. Darlene, you said about being spicy and very intelligent. She's much like that. She takes after her mommy. She has a high tempo and she likes to get up and go. She loves to walk and she loves to talk, and bark. she lets you know that she has your attention. She wants your attention. She has it, and she wants to keep it. But she's loving, she's kind, and it's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take your dogs to the vet. You have to keep them up on their vaccination. You have to keep them groomed. I mean, I groom her on a regular basis, and she gets treats, and she gets toys, and I mean, I do. My kids said, "Mom, I don't think we were this poor. I think Princess Anne got us by
a long way." Well, Cherie, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chief, she mentioned something about temperament. As someone who's never owned a dog, are there different temperaments for different breeds, or can you impact the temperament of a dog if you get the dog at a very, very early age?
Well, some breeds are bred to do certain things, so we have to remember that. Labrador retrievers are bred to be retrievers, to hunt, to chase. You have bloodhounds, you know, so you got breeds, huskies are bred to do certain things. But here's what I would tell anybody. Any breed can be with how much time you put into it. So you can make them do what you want them to do. So you get them as a puppy, as Ms. Drummer said earlier, she spent a whole lot of time with her puppy the first couple of days. She housebroke it in a couple of days. You can do just that. You can socialize it, and you want to do that with other animals, with other people all the time, so it doesn't get protective of one family. So it helps with the temperament of the pet, but it's the time you put in. And you have trainers out there would help you with that as well. Very important. So we don't want to get stuck on the stigma of a certain breed acts a certain way, because that's not true.
That's what I was going to ask. Why do pit bulls have such a bad reputation? Is that the dog, or is that the owner?
That's strictly the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's strictly the owner.
Totally agree.
It's terrible how they have gotten this stigma, but it's about socialization and training. You have a culture that came along and started using the breed to fight and make them mean and do. I mean, you can do that with any breed, but those dogs were bred and they're bully dogs. They're strong dogs, have a lot of jaw pressure. So I see quite a few pit bulls come through our shelter. Beautiful dogs, lovely dogs, and it's because the owners did the right thing.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Melody calling from D.C. Melody, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was just listening to him. The gentleman just spoke about bully breed and pit bulls in particular. I basically find them to be big babies. They're wonderful dogs. My brother's had like 3 or 4. We've never had an issue. We grew up with Dobermans. We've had Akitas. And as far as temperament, like you said, you can make them do whatever you want them to do. But I found Akitas in particular, most dogs want to please you, but Akitas don't. My brother's pit bulls were the biggest babies. I loved them to death. The biggest headache I've ever had as far as dogs are concerned was the toy poodle I had. He jumped at everything that was big, whereas my Akita would just walk past, no problems, no issues. And basically, I find that, you know, people, I've had, like, my neighbors would buy puppies because we had puppies. But I find that you get out of a dog what you put in it. And everybody is like the cute puppy, and once it grows bigger, you know, they just want to kick it to the curb. And then they don't understand why, one, the dog has no manners, two, the dog's not housebroken. Well, you didn't teach it anything. So what do you expect? And like the young lady was saying about her dog helping her do things, my Akita let me know that something was wrong with my mother before she passed out because her blood sugar level was so high.
Interesting.
He was licking her. Mm. So you were talking about the bond with people and their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the saving graces for me with my dog. And they were like, "How did you know her blood sugar was that high?" I didn't know what was wrong with her. I just knew the dog was licking her.
Melody, thank you so much. Chief, real quick about that, because we've heard that there are specific breeds of dogs as well as dogs that have been trained as service dogs for specifically owners who have health challenges. Talk to me about that.
Well, that's so true. You do have service dogs out there that are trained to detect if someone's going to have a seizure. In Prince George's County, we issue service dog tags, and you have to come in and there's forms that you fill out to tell us exactly what the dog can do. Not only that, for the blind, for the deaf, dogs are just an awesome species, man. They love people from the jump. If puppies are, when they're born at 8 weeks old, if you put them in a crowd, they go straight to a person. That's the bond automatically. immaculate. I think it was created from God. So we have to understand that. So they can be trained to do everything and anything we want them to do, to search and seizure. They can go find people, you know, in buildings that have been blown up, and they can go way down the ground 200 feet and find somebody. So they can be trained to do whatever you want to do. It's about time, putting in time. And here's what I would say about dogs. They're just a ball of love. With all the hatred in the world today,
come on,
if you get a pet, it's going to love you every single day.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shawnee calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Shawnee. What's on your mind?
Hi, I want to thank you all for having this topic in the show tonight, because, you know, in our community, we have unfortunately had a fear of dogs because of our historical past. But I wanted to let people know that, you know, dogs are very special. And just like the gentleman was saying, they have great talents that are God-given. I've had the opportunity for the last 10 years to have a private a rescue and shelter from my home, and I've rehomed probably about 350 dogs over the last 10 years, and I've had the ability to really train these dogs to be loyal companions, maybe not completely service dogs, but dogs that will work with children who are artistic, who have special learning needs, and through the years, the dog has helped to bring out positive aspects of their personality that their parents weren't even able to bring out, and therapists and specially trained clinicians. But having that loyal companion does make all the difference in the world for pain management, post-traumatic syndrome. I've just had so many testimonials over the years. I'm just sorry that I can't continue the work, because it is you know, something that you invest into the dogs, the love, the care, and then it's given back to the individual families and individuals who receive the dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Shawnee, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. I want to talk about the cost of owning a dog, whether you just want a, you know, a pet without any, you know, elaborate, you know, training. What kind of shots, let's say you have a puppy, and, you know, Darlene mentioned shots and vaccinations and the like. What, talk to me about some of the health things. What kind of shots are we talking about?
Chief, you want me to take that? Okay. So when you first get a dog, you need to ascertain their age. My first recommendation is, when you get your dog, no matter where you get the dog from, whether it's a breeder, or a shelter, or even from a family member or friend, you need to obtain yourself a really good veterinarian. I personally go to the Washington, D.C. Anacostia Animal Clinic with Dr. Ashley. She is a community activist. She's a community veterinarian, and she is very reasonably priced. She has breeders that come from all over the world just to see her, all over the country, actually, just to see her. And so you need to go to somewhere very similar, and they will go and do a full examination of the dog. And I can only speak on her price point. Her price point for a full exam, wellness examination, make sure the dog is fine, I have never seen anyone pay more than $200 for that full service. Now, okay.
So that's the first thing. So what is that? Because you're talking about, you know, a full exam, but does that also include those shots?
It does. So what a very good veterinarian will do is they will examine the dog to determine the dog's age. Sometimes they look at their teeth, their paws, so that, because if you don't know how old the dog is, that's the very first thing, because they get certain shots depending upon their age.
So what are the first shots for a very young dog?
I think that they get their regular puppy shots.
Well, Chief,
So it would be the puppy shots, the DHOPP shot.
What is that?
That's the puppy shot for, and that protects them from parvo, leptosis. They have certain protection for vaccinations, and they get that when they're first born at 8 weeks old, then they'll get it again at 12 weeks old, and then at 4 months old, they get their rabies shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and once they get their rabies shot, we encourage everyone to spay and neuter. It's very important.
Explain that to me. Why you spay, Because I hear that Bob Barker used to talk about that all the time on The Price is Right. Make sure you spay and neuter your pets. What is that?
So spay, neuter, in essence, basically says that they cannot reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
In the world today, we don't need everybody breeding dogs in their backyards and mixing brothers and sisters and dogs coming out deformed and those things. So you spay and neuter. There are breeders out there, professional breeders out there who watch bloodlines and do it the right way. But what I'm talking about is just the everyday pet owner. You need to spay and neuter your pet. And it also helps with health. So ovarian cancer, dog's testicle cancer, it cuts all that away. You don't have that. And it calms the temperament down. But the main thing for spaying and neutering, it controls the overpopulation.
Okay. So when you talked about those shots, you're talking about three series of shots between birth and 4 months. How much does something like that cost?
Well, that ranges. So there's normally a series of costs. So you have your first set of shots, depending upon the facility. They set their own price point, but I'm just going to go with what I'm familiar with. They usually are under $125 in those series. But after you get your dog spayed and neutered, it's also very important for you to get a Bordetella shot.
A what? What is a?
A Bordetella shot is the shot that I feel that every dog should have, especially if that dog is going to be socializing around with other dogs.
That's correct.
That will prohibit your dog from contracting another disease from a dog who has not gotten their shots, a dog who may have like kennel cough, or a dog who may have other viruses or diseases because their pet owner did not get them the proper shots. So you need to ensure that your dog gets a Bordetella shot. And the Bordetella shot, you get that once a year. And also, when you want to have your dog groomed, that is a requirement for you to have your dog professionally groomed at any facility, because without that Bordetella shot, they will not accept your dog.
And it's very important. The Bordetella shot, Ms. Truman is so correct, because a lot of animals get out. We don't want them to get out, but every now and then they get out and they come into the shelter environment. Well, we have all kind of animals in our shelter. So we have some that no pet on. They're just strays. They're running. So they don't have vaccinations. It's called kennel cough. And kennel cough is like a cold. If you get a cold and we start coughing in this same room, somebody may catch somebody's cold. With the same thing helping in a shelter environment. But if he's protected with Bordetella, he's protected. And so that is very important. And in Prince George's County, at an animal shelter, we have a low-cost vaccination clinic. Every first Thursday of the month between 12 and 2, you can walk in and you can get your Bordetella, your distemper, your kennel cough. It can range anywhere for the first year to own a dog from $1,200 to $2,000 for the first year. Because you're getting all your shots, you go to the vet. And here's what I would tell everybody, always prepare for the rainy day. Because with a dog and an animal, you just don't know what may come up. There's things that happen in their body, just like our bodies, that come up that you may have to treat, as Ms. Drummond had her story about her dog. So it's very important you understand it's expense that come with having a pet.
Is there pet insurance for these kind of medical things?
There's pet insurance out there. That's something that you should do all your research on. I won't speak either one way or the other on it, but there is pet insurance out there.
Do you have pet insurance for Sammy?
So I do not have pet insurance for Sammy. And the reason was is because I counted, I'm very diligent, and he goes to his primary care veterinarian. He has a primary care veterinarian.
Yes,
he has everything that I have, he has. He has a cardiologist, I have one. He has a pulmonary specialist, I have one. And that is because Sammy has what they call congestive heart failure. And that was noted this year. He had a situation. He was born with an enlarged heart. I was not aware of it. Why? Because he goes to his regular veterinary visits. He gets all his shots on time. And that's something that you wouldn't have to detect unless he had a chest x-ray. So because he didn't have any ailing symptoms, there was no reason for him to have a chest x-ray. So because I take such good care of him, he gets all of his shots on time. He gets a heartworm medicine, which is called Heart Guard, to prevent him to have worms and all of that good things. He takes a vitamin. I feed him I don't feed him people food. Initially, I did not feed him people food, meaning he was not eating McDonald's fast food. That's what that's what I mean by people food. You know, I'm not giving him fast food. He's not getting sugars. He's not getting chocolates. He's not getting anything that will do any harm to him. And so when he got sick, unfortunately, that bill was pretty enormous up there. But because he did not have pet insurance, it was considered to be a pre-existing condition, just like for humans. And so therefore, pet insurance was not available.
So what's up there when you talk about, how much are we talking about?
We're talking about over collectively for all of his visits at the hospital for him
being with the ICU, heart situation.
It was over $6,000.
Jesus, that's a lot of money.
But he's my only child.
Yes, there's
I don't
that.
Have any children. I was prepared and ready because just like if I would have any other child that I would give birth to, if someone said, your child is sick, he needs this type of medicine, he needs this procedure, you best cool believe you're going to find that money to take care of your child. So just because he walks on four legs and not two doesn't mean I don't love him any less or don't want to take care of him any less.
About the feeding of dogs, and I remember, you know, growing up when other family members had dogs, they did feed them not McDonald's and the like, but often, you know, the, you know, chicken bones and the things that the family did not eat. Is that still a good practice?
No, that's not a good practice anymore. They've gotten away from doing those. And if you remember, and you go back in those days, dogs didn't live very long either. And we didn't understand that back then, but we were doing things to them that caused them, that chicken bone splinter could get down in their intestines, things like that could happen. So you have to also, that's why it's good, as Ms. Drummond said, you want to get a veterinarian. That's the first thing. And let them lead you and educate you in what you do. Depending on what type of breed of dog you have, the type of dog food you should be feeding your dog, which is very important. But they have good dog food out there, and that's what you want to focus on, not table scraps.
I've heard that there are certain things, very specific things, that dogs should not eat. You mentioned chocolate.
Yes.
So chocolate is bad for...
Chocolate is absolutely bad.
Why
for,
is that?
For a dog. I think the makeup in the chocolate, the sugar, I think it races their heart.
Do you know about that, Chief?
Yeah, I'm not a veterinarian, but it does affect the heart, it affects the body, and it kind of puts poison in the body because it could kill a dog.
Yeah.
So too much chocolate can actually kill a dog.
What other specific things should people be concerned about? Definitely keeping away from dogs. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, if they happen, if the chicken bone drops on the floor and the dog, you know, chews it, one chicken bone, you know, it's not going to be a problem. But if chocolate drops on the floor,
could be dangerous.
That could be dangerous. What other kinds of things do you not want your dog to be exposed to that is perfectly fine for humans?
Well, let me say this. We're getting ready to get into the fall and the winter months coming real soon. Antifreeze is something we got to be very, very careful of. You don't want that around. You don't want Neoland around.
Okay.
Because dogs can, they'll, because it has a great taste to it. So they'll drink antifreeze and it will kill them. It will actually kill them. So that's very important. And we talked about the sweets. You don't want to give dogs candy. I mean, no candy. I mean, you have to stay away from all those things like that, which is very important. People have gone to the raw diet now for certain breeds of dogs, and nothing wrong with that. Just talk with your veterinarian and make sure that you are feeding them. But that's very important. Now, if you have the cats, you have the certain plants. You have to do your research on certain plants. Dogs shouldn't be around. Cats shouldn't be around. So animals do have things. There's things out there that can harm the animals, but we do have to do our research as pet owners.
The rule of thumb is usually always, too, you would not want your dog or your animal around anything, cleaning products. So laundry detergent, like the pods. You know, bleach or anything that smells good. They have a tendency to like to eat things that smell nice. So you might have some air fresheners or things like that. So anything that would be toxic with anything that has a chemical base.
That's correct.
Where do you get a dog now? I mean, I know they're the shelters. I remember, now I'm telling my age, I remember that there was a pet store in the old Landover Mall. I'm really telling my age now.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo. Shout out to 202 Landover.
That's right.
Not 202 Landover Mall.
You know, but I remember that it was on the ground floor. That's near right. Sears.
Yes.
And
Doctor's Pets.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yep.
I don't see pet stores like that anymore. I do know there's a big pet store in my community, but I'm not a pet owner, so I never go in. I just see people walking their pets in and walking them out. But do you still get pets from pet stores?
You don't see that nowhere near as much as you used to. Let me say that. People are really looking at trying to save lives. And I'm encouraged folks to come to animal shelters. We have mm-hmm. every breed you can think of at animal shelter. Believe it or not, we're living in a day now where the income is much greater, so people don't have a problem paying for the pet. The problem we find is people have a problem taking care of the pet.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you'll pay for a pet, but watch this. If you don't take care of it, we average 30 to 40, sometimes 50 a month owner surrenders. That means somebody's gotten a pet from somewhere and decided we can't care for it, and they drop it at the animal shelter and want us to try to find a home for it. So the pet shops are really not out there like they used to be selling puppies. People are really into spaying and neutering now, going to local animal shelters. Because when you adopt from a shelter, you're also saving a life. That's mm-hmm. how I look at it.
And with this shelter, what is the cost at your shelter for adopting a dog? Is it the same for every dog? Or does it change with the age of the dog, type of dog?
No, it's the same for every dog now, and it's $225 to adopt. That includes all the vaccinations, including rabies shots, all the border tailor shots, the stemper shots.
Wow.
And also, that $225 will cover your county license and your spay and neuter. So the animal will be altered, have all his vaccinations. We have what we call classes we do, pet parenting classes that we do before people adopt.
Wow.
So you can come in and sit down and educate, because we want to make sure that we're making this a successful adoption. And I tell people all the time, you come there, you'll find the love of your life.
That's being physically responsible in love.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely. Like it. Now, does Sammy sleep in the bed with you?
Oh, whoa, pump your brakes. So... whoa, now. Okay. So
I guess the answer is no.
Let's be clear.
No, this is why I ask.
Okay.
Because, in certain cultures.
Yes.
The dogs are in the bed. The dog, you know, folks are kissing the dogs and all of that. I'm not sure I really understand that.
Okay, Mr. Fisher, let me address that.
So please.
Okay. So Sammy was trained by me. He does not get in my bed because he has his own bed, a mm-hmm. nice, beautiful wrought iron bed. It's on the side of my bed, but he doesn't even ask to go on my bed because he was trained. He does not get on my furniture. He has his own furniture, okay? I don't get on his furniture. He doesn't get on mine. He is a dog. Nevertheless, I love him dearly, but when he goes outside and he needs to go to the bathroom, I don't go outside to go to the bathroom. He does.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he's around the elements on the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even after he goes to the bathroom outside, he has been trained to stop at my door. He gets lavender wiped, all four paws. He can count to four. And then he's a boy dog, so he can't shake. So we take care of all that, too.
Wait a minute. What is that? He can't shake?
He's a boy dog.
What is that? I don't know what that means.
He's a boy dog. He's not a girl dog. So
okay.
His extremities are outside. So as, you know, boy dogs, we're not going to have any leftover residues or anything that he disposed of outside.
So, but female dogs shake?
Well, no, only boy dogs.
Okay, no, I don't own a dog, so I don't know what
okay.
that means.
So let me say this.
You say he
correct.
Can't shake.
Right, because as you train a little boy when he goes to the restroom.
Ah, I see.
Light bulb came
right,
on,
wait,
people.
No, but you you said he's a boy dog. You didn't
right.
say he's not a boy.
No, right.
Right, there's a difference.
Boy.
I'm,
right.
you know, I,
he's,
I'm,
a, he's a male dog
right.
who
so
has
I,
male
I,
anatomy.
I, right, I thought there was something about.
No.
I thought about, you know, female dogs do not have the ability to shake.
No, but
and
even
boys,
if he
yeah,
was, even if he was a female dog, I would do the same. But here again, it goes.
Chief,
it goes
help me
to,
with you're not helping.
I'm sorry, but it goes towards again. Here's a lifestyle decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle decision about what you want to put into your dog and how you want your dog to reside in your home, which is also his home. Now, he also has a kennel. And I say, go to your apartment. And I leave the door open. I say, go to your apartment, because he was trained in there. And so that's his comfort. That's his zone. He knows the big house is Darlene. The little house is Sammy's. And so it's a comfort thing. And because of that, he feels a part of the home. He has his toy box. He eats his food. So he has his own place in the home. So I would always recommend for the dog owners that even though he's a dog, that's his house too. And give him his own zone. Give him his own comfort level. Now, I'm not against whatever someone else wants to do. So if you want your dog to cozy up with you on the sofa or be in the bed, God bless America, it just doesn't work for Darlene.
Well, which is what I was going to ask about. Is that a healthy thing?
No, everything's fine. And it comes down to what you want and what you like. Right? I understand Miss Drummond. I understand that. And she makes sure that her dog still gets everything he needs and some. What some families do still allow their dogs to sit on the couch with them while they watch TV, sleep at the foot of their bed, and all those things, which is awesome. It still is okay. It's what you desire. My thing, here's why I am in Prince George's County. They must live in your house.
Well,
if you
want
to call
that.
Them a pet. We don't want dogs in backyards on chains.
Right.
Because I don't call that a pet. It caused separation anxiety, caused bad behavior. We're looking at passing legislation to deal with that in the county as well. But I would say this, pets, if you want to call it your pet, he should be living in your house with your family. It is a part of your family.
Well, I think that is a good place to end this conversation. Fascinating, because like I said, I'm not a pet owner, so I don't know. That's interesting. Very interesting. I want to thank both of you, Darlene Drummond and Chief Rodney Taylor. And, of course, there will be a podcast on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30, as well as information about the Prince George's County Animal Service Facility. You'll find that all on WHUR.com. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Have we turned you into a dog lover?
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, September 6th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm a